Okay, is everybody back?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so I'll start with asking if there are any announcements.
Just a quick one. I just sent out to the network today is the NOAA and NASA releasing the 2013 global temperature analysis, and I just sent it out to everybody. So just hopefully, and at 1:30 today, there's a teleconference with media, but imagine that's not something we're able to do given we're here. We're not media, but anyway, just that came out today.
Good.
So this is for 2013.
2013. Yeah, we have to go a little bit into 14 to complete the analysis with all the December numbers.
Right. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Sure.
Frank, this is Bonnie. I didn't see an announcement of that, so I must not be on that email list.
Well, I don't know if anybody else in the network got it. Sometimes my emails bounce around a while in the Clean Network, so it may come eventually.
Yeah,
I don't have it yet either.
Yeah, I don't.
No. And with it being NOAA and NASA, I'm surprised I didn't get it somewhere, so I'll search for it.
It just came out 30 minutes ago, so you may not have seen it yet. But if you go to the NOAA press releases on the main page, it'll be there.
All right. Thanks for that direction.
Sure.
I also let
Hi,
everybody
I just
know
for
that.
The first time, this is Ann Goodman.
Hi,
Ann. I just also want to let everybody know we got two session proposals proposed for the GSA annual meeting next fall for climate literacy, and both are being sponsored by GSA Geoscience Ed Division and by NAGT. So in a little while, we'll find out if they're accepted, and then the process of recruiting people to submit abstracts. But this is way early now, so just want to let everybody know. Any other announcements? Okay, well, if not, this is, today we're going to have, we have joining us today the National Climate Assessment Education Affinity Group, and we're using the venue of the Clean Network once a month for the next few months to address educational uses of the coming publication of the National Climate Assessment for use in educational contexts. And this is being led by Mark McCaffrey out of the NCSE in California. And so, Mark, I'll turn it over to you to lead the conversation today.
Great. Thank you very much, Tamarod. Yeah, this is Mark McCaffrey with the National Center for Science Education. And I think some of you know that there's another NCSE, the National Council for Science and the Environment, and we often get confused. But we're based here in Oakland, California, and the other one's based in D.C. And in fact, the other NCSE is having a big conference next week outside of D.C. in Crystal City on building climate solutions, which will include a symposium that several of us are involved with, and Tamara's going to be describing some information about clean and so forth on Tuesday, and then a workshop on Wednesday. So are any folks on the call going to be there? I know Frank, you'll be there. Tamara, you'll be there. Anyone else?
Yes, I'll be there.
Yeah, Jeff Fainstein will be there.
I won't be there, but somebody from CLEO will be there, Mark.
Okay, great. All right, so we have sent out a link to a Google Doc, and I hope that you can all access that. If not, I know sometimes certain firewalls prevent access to Google Docs, but we'll do our best to help talk you through this. Is there anybody that knows for sure they can't get to the Google Doc?
It's posted. The link is posted on the Clean Teleconference page, and from there I was able to get to it.
Right. So I've started a list of participants who are on this call today. So if you could add your name to that, because I didn't catch who all is on the call, just go ahead and add your name underneath there. And one of the great things about Google Docs is that we can have multiple people working away on this document at the same time, and it kind of somehow or another resolves the version control issues. But in any event, we've been talking for some time now about ways to maximize the educational potential for the National Climate Assessment, and obviously there's been several National Climate Assessments before, and they have produced two pagers in the past that were somewhat helpful to teachers, but the education audience has never really been a main focus of the National Climate Assessment, and so we're hoping that we can work with the NCA folks directly, and there's a lot of people in D.C. and elsewhere who have been working hard on the National Climate Assessment to get it ready for the release this spring. And there's a couple of technical two-pagers that are out there right now. And actually, could I ask people to mute their phones if there's any background noise? I confess I'm being a little distracted by some background noise there. But thank you. So in any event, there's some of the materials that have been pulled together on this Google Docs focus on the regional assessments, and the overall national climate assessment will, of course, talk about the entire nation, but there's a lot of detail that's being pulled together at the regional level, and this has been true of the past national climate assessments as well. And so what we've done further down here on the Google Docs is take the Northeast region and define which states the Northeast is focused on. And we've included a couple of links to the Climate Nexus materials that they put together for an FAQ about a year ago, and also the technical summary that came out late last year of each of the different regions. And then we also have a link to the 2009 regional two-pager that will be similar to what they're going to be producing this year. So I think that ideally what we're hoping to do, and we're not going to be able to do a lot of this work today as an entire group, but what we're hoping is that people can find an area of interest of one of the regions, or maybe several of the regions, and be able to chip in together to flush out existing resources from the Clean Network and elsewhere, and add them to this Google Docs. And then over time, we will iterate these regional materials to come up with a polished product that we can then disseminate to teachers and other educators around the country, but specifically aiming towards resources that are regionally rich, that help people at a local level or certainly a regional level understand what's happening in their neighborhoods and in their region, and what is likely to happen, what's projected to happen over the coming decades and century. And then what can be done to better understand the problem so that we can make better informed decisions. So the other thing I wanted to mention before we kind of open it up here is that several of us who will be attending a National Climate Assessment meeting in Washington in mid-February are being asked to identify some of these elements of deployment, which are down underneath the goal towards the top of the document. And so these elements that we need to be thinking about include objectives, target audiences, target dates, if there are any, existing resources from NCA, and the various mechanisms for delivery and dissemination, along with sample materials from Clean and elsewhere. And so forth. So the aim is that we're going to be working together ideally in small enough groups that we can get some good work done to put together essentially these regional toolkits that will benefit the overall NCA deployment make best use of the sort of the teachable moments inherent in the release of this report coming out later this spring. So I think with that, we've got quite a number of folks on the call today, and we very much appreciate that. So I guess one thing I was thinking that we could start with is just a conversation about the regions and whether or not people have a particular region that they're interested in. Caroline, I know that obviously you're in the Southeast and also dealing with coastal issues that are going to be kind of universal to all peoples living along coastal areas. But and then Mona, you're down in Texas, which is a different region from the Southeast, I believe. But in any event, let's go ahead. Oh, that's Great Plains.
Mark,
right.
I have a little question. So Texas actually falls in different regions. It's Southwest, it's Southeast, and the Great Plains. So I'm a little confused. Where will Texas go?
Well, yeah, you're bringing out a good point, which is that Texas, being a large state, kind of overlaps with some of these other regions, and I think it probably needs to be addressed in a unique way. So in terms of how we divide up, I think it's really up to you in terms of where your interests lie. And you may actually live in a region that you're not that interested in, and you're perhaps more interested in Alaska, for instance. I don't think we have anybody on the call from Alaska, but I see Stephanie Furman, you're with us today, and perhaps even though you live in the Northeast, perhaps you could help us with the Arctic region through your polar project. So here's my thought, is that let's go through one by one the regions and just have a short discussion about what we might do and who might lead the charge on these different regions. So the Northeast, we've already kind of fleshed out a bit, but there's obviously more that needs to be done here. And quite a few of you are in the Northeast. But first of all, maybe we can use this template that we've put together on the Northeast and just discuss whether this is a good approach or not. Just as a little bit of background, the annotation I've put together is from the technical summary that came out at the tail end of 2013. And
Mark, why don't you describe the template a bit so that people can get the framework in their heads?
The template we've started to fill out, which includes the state of each region, and then we've got three links to relevant documents for each of the regions. Then I put this annotation together, which is basically pulling out key information from the technical summary, which is from an official National Climate Assessment document. Then down below that, Minda Rebecco here at NCSE has identified some of the key figures that are from that particular region. And again, these might be annotated. Links to the NGSS, the Next Generation Science Standards, are below that, and we might add to this. In all likelihood, each of these links to NGSS will probably be the same for the each region, but maybe not. And then we've also penciled in a couple of clean resources that are relevant either to that region in particular, or that are more general, like the link to the Changes Close at Home resource from Clean. So that's the template that we've put together in a nutshell. And why don't we just open it up for feedback on the template in general, and the Northeast in particular.
May I ask you, Mark, you listed the states there, and then we were discussing Texas and where it belonged. Was the list of states from the National Climate Assessment and how they actually divide those states into the regions that are on the National Climate Assessment?
That's right.
Okay, great.
So they're the official designations, and as Mona alluded to, Texas is a unique case.
Well,
exactly.
You know, it's kind of unfortunate that they did it by states, in my opinion, in a way, you know, because the Rocky Mountains take up a lot of states, and eastern Colorado doesn't have that much to do with western Colorado.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're bringing. I'm sorry. It's true that a few other states, like the Great Plains, includes eastern Colorado, New Mexico, and most of Montana, except the far west. So, yeah, I was incorrect in saying that it's neatly divided up by states. Some regions are very state-centric, but like the Northeast, and others, the Southwest includes California, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, and then parts of Texas and Arizona. It is a bit of a hodgepodge.
Yeah, and I would argue that Maryland has little ecologically in common with Maine, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I think we're going to have lumping splitting issues no matter what, but I think if we keep our work in line with the National Climate Assessment, it ought to help our work facilitate that better research. I think that's the best we can do.
Yeah, I think that part of the issue will be that if people are going to look at the way that, you know, their piece with respect to how the National Climate Assessment is broken up, then our pieces that we add to that need to break along the same lines to be useful.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is Scott.
So, Mark, how extensive do you anticipate each of these being, and how will they be linked to that piece of the National Climate Assessment? Would they appear with it somehow, or how do you think that might work?
Well, that's something that we need to have continued conversations with the powers that be at the National Climate Assessment, and Frank maybe will have some insights on this as well, but a lot of this is going to be up to us. Ideally we'll be able to include some of our links on the National Climate Assessment homepage and their whole database that they'll be including, but we don't know that for certain. But meanwhile, we could have a lot of this information up on the CLEAN website or related websites we could then disseminate to our teacher networks.
So, Mark, the NCAA web architecture or database you talked about is a black box to me. And I think it's probably it would behoove us from being able to move forward is to not try and rely on that system for
right.
our purposes, but to really generate something that serves educators and students and the community we aim to serve and draws from that database but does not rely on it for our purposes. And wherever that home is, I would highly recommend we find one and begin to, you know, make some kind of logical architecture for how to navigate this, because the people in those areas are going to be different, and sometimes they'll be consistent, sometimes they'll be different.
This is Alan out in Berkeley. I was just examining the Southwest document, and I don't think it's a problem being in different states or even different localities in the region, because the document, if you look at it, if you start reading it, it calls out particular areas. So it's not like it's addressing the entire region completely. It actually talks about individual areas like the Colorado River Basin, which is huge, but that's different from some other areas of the Southwest.
Yeah. Yeah, within regions, there's subregions, obviously. Scott, you had a comment?
It was actually similar to what Frank was saying. I guess I was thinking, well, what's our audience? And, you know, there are many states that have multiple sort of ecological zones and different kinds of climate impacts. But from a teacher perspective, they may be asked to talk about climate in, well, Minnesota. I know that is certainly true for Kristen. I just think that's a better way of splitting it, which I think is exactly the same point that Frank was making. And so what I think our job is then to bring all those pieces that are part of the NCA database together so that it really supports the teachers in our particular state. That's how I'm sort of seeing it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, a simple template that we have is the clean collection teaching pages. Mm-hmm. They already offer an architecture of how to lay out something for educators and ultimately their students and learners that we could leverage and possibly utilize in this, but drawing the links from different places or something like that.
I was going to suggest if we think about this in terms of creating it in such a way that we could even review them into the clean collection. And we could potentially use the review criteria for unit or module, which, because you're already pointing to some pieces that are already in the collection. It's just an idea. The issue would be finding the funding, depending on how many there were, finding the funding to enable that to happen.
Well, that is a dilemma that we face, is that we don't have any funding at this stage. Basically, what we're doing is a volunteer effort, and it would be nice if
I understand that. So what we could potentially do is we could potentially put together a framework such that we could then think about submitting a proposal. That being said, I know you want to get this moving forward quicker than that would ever be possible. We could potentially have a separate from the collection itself, but on the clean portal, a national climate assessment page that could have these pieces that we would hopefully eventually be able to have in the clean collection.
Right.
Yeah.
The only point about the review is this has been so utterly reviewed.
I'm suggesting, Frank. I'm suggesting that you take whatever template we fill out, you have to review. That's the piece you have to review.
I see. Okay. All right.
So that it sort of addresses all those criteria. Now, if all the pieces within it are reviewed, that's why I would suggest reviewing the using the module or unit review criteria. Mm-hmm. It just requires all the pieces within it to have been reviewed.
Okay.
Anyway, so but why don't we go ahead with the I think Mark wants to get into the details of what makes up a template or what makes up one of these things and sort of have more of a conversation around that. So, Mark, you can go ahead and...
Yeah, I just want to finish Frank's point about the possibility of using the teaching about section from CLEAN, which gets into why are these topics important, what makes this principle challenging to teach, how can I use this principle in my teaching, and then points to specific learning activities. And so we might be also thinking about those type of questions, because in my mind, I guess the main audience are teachers, and we know from experience that teachers are often looking for resources that make the information relevant at their local or regional level to their students. So why don't we be thinking about how we can use that approach of why is it important, what are the principal challenges, and how can I use this principle in my teaching? Maybe just put that on the back burner for now. But, I think let's, again, focus on the template we've put together for the Northeast. And does this meet some basic needs? Or what could be done to enhance this? And are there people willing to take on, help further fleshing out the Northeast here?
This is Ingrid Zabel.
Go ahead, Ingrid.
I want to say I like the emphasis in the first section on observed trends, that we're focusing on what's happening now or what has changed in the last few decades, so it can dispel that notion that climate change has yet to occur. I think I like that you have a key figures section also, because I think graphs, you can learn a lot from looking at a graph. And I was thinking about when you mentioned teachers, with the Common Core changes, at least in New York State, there's more emphasis on reading nonfiction as opposed to reading fiction and literature. And so students may be reading more nonfiction about climate change, maybe reading things like this. So that's maybe an opportunity for us. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to make it too text-heavy. I think it would be more effective if it does emphasize the graphs and figures.
Right.
And also the simulations that are in the clean resources are incredible. I've just started playing through those some more, and I think it's taking a picture is worth 1,000 words, and a simulation is worth even more.
Who was just speaking there?
That was Jane.
Oh, thanks, Jane.
So, Mark, one thing that I'm looking at in your template, the future climate scenarios, is it's missing something for me. And one of the things, I'm looking at the executive summary of the draft, the January of 13 draft of the National Climate Assessment. And there's a section in there that talks about, you know, as climate change and its impacts become more prevalent, America faces choices. And so using the choices decision language and how emission scenarios play out, there's, you know, I can put some language in there from the draft that helps kind of make it a little bit more approachable or a little bit more engaging, because I find the language as it is, you got to know a lot to begin. And the other piece of it is that the idea of decisions and, you know, making a commensurate solution to a problem and then preparing for the things you couldn't solve. It's just that the approach feels a little bit more less engaging for people who are new to this. This is my feedback.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so thinking along those lines is, we've been talking on the network about the important link to social sciences that isn't always there, and decision-making is a strong part of that. And what we've noticed is with the NGSS that they're good at including and incorporating engineering design as a problem-solving practice that's linked to the sciences. But taking it to that extra decision-making skill, that makes it science for all, which is another big, big direction that we're moving, is this really engages the whole citizenry. We need to understand enough to make those decisions. So I really, really appreciate that comment. I think that would be very helpful. But I don't know how you got there. I'm not sure what you were looking at in order to develop that idea.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it in the network many, many times. It's an emerging best practice when you're talking about, you know, climate change in education. So, you know, I think that's what we're going to be, you know, trying to figure out how to weave that in there. And I think you said it better than I.
So how can we sum that up?
Another section might be under future climate scenarios, maybe having something that says implications for the region.
Yeah.
You know, so not just what's the temperature, how the temperature is going to change or how the precipitation is going to change, but what are implications that are important for that region?
Tamara, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah?
Okay. This is Kristen. I'm calling in from driving home from being up northern Minnesota. But that is something I noticed was missing or different from this one. The first report that we used, the first one a lot in our Minnesota's Changing Climate curriculum, and it had key issues facing the region, and it broke out like 6 to 7 things that were really, like what you were saying, Frank, things that were much more broken down that you could actually come up with some, you know, scenarios or some solutions around each of those pieces. And I didn't notice that so much in this new draft of the report.
Yeah, well, just a Kristen, a little clarification. They're still working on 2 pagers that are more for a general audience, and also they're putting together a 100-page document that is sort of summarizing the entire National Climate Assessment. Susan Hassel from Climate Communications is working on those 2 pagers that will be similar to the 2 pagers from 2009, but we don't have access to them yet. So that's part of our dilemma, is that we don't have access to all the relevant National Climate Assessment information and resources. So we're kind of trying to make do as best we can. Ultimately, they'll be, you know, we'll have access to them when they're released to the public in April, but possibly before, but I wouldn't hold my breath on that. So it's possible that the final version will include something more similar to last year. The technical reports that we've got links to are really very technical. They're 2 pagers. They don't say a lot. And so this example we've done of the Northeast is just pulling out a couple of the highlights, like about sea level rise and so forth, for that part of the country. But
So Mark, given how much you focused on this, you might want to go back to the executive summary, and I imagine you might have some framing text. I'm seeing it in here in the executive summary. Now, obviously, it's old, but I don't know how much of this verbatim will hold, but I imagine there'll be something like this language in those documents, just to give us a way of moving forward at this point, but not obviously replacing it with the final language.
Mark, you're intending these to be relatively short. Is that correct?
Yeah, although... Can somebody mute their phone there? Thank you. Ideally, this would be on a website, whether it's CLEAN or NCA or NOAA or some combination thereof. With a website, you can nest things and sort of drill down into more details. Ideally... Go ahead.
What I was going to suggest, maybe, I mean, actually, that your idea of drilling in may fit in with this really well. I was thinking, instead of having paragraphs for each of these sections, you actually have bullets. But then if you have bullets that sort of say the statement, the temperature is doing such and under trends, observe trends, but then you can click on that and potentially get more, you know, more drilled down into more detailed information. I just think that by having bullets, you'd be able to sort of, somebody coming in and looking at it and seeing how they might use it in their teaching, that might be easier than having to read through paragraphs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is Don, a thought on drawing some of the last several things said together. Ingrid talked about language arts connections related to the Common Core, and Frank talked about social sciences connections, and somebody else did too. And I think I'm wondering how to make those ideas more explicit in the template so that teachers of social studies and language arts can quickly find things that are relevant to what they're teaching. And maybe it's a bullet you know, a bullet on each of those with links to dig deeper.
This is Caroline. This is Caroline. I'm agreeing with Dawn 100%, but want to extend it beyond the non-science teachers to informal science educators as well. And really, I really think images and coming out of this new NCA release, coming up with a series of images that speak volumes, like the one from the 2009 report on the Northeast that has New Hampshire moving down. It's a nice visual. And I was wondering if this new projection is even more significant. One of the things I'm finding in bridging formal and informal education and engagement on this issue is the rate of change and the rate at which our predictions are being exceeded really resonates with diverse learners. And so these visuals, I wonder how much difference there is between some of the projections from 2009 versus now. Were we overly cautious? Were we right on? Are we getting better at this prediction? In addition to the message itself, the temperatures are changing, sea level is rising, and everything else.
Yeah, that's good feedback. I think a lot of people have liked that images of showing how the states are moving south, in effect, from the 2009 reports. And we can ask when we meet with the NCA people in mid-February whether they intended to do something similar to that.
So, Mark, what maybe I missed it in your opening statement. What is the target impact for this initiative? Because most of the National Climate Assessment groups are focusing on rollout. Is this?
Right.
Are we really expecting this to kind of take hold and work in the September timeframe when schools are going? Or is this like rollout plus? Or what's the? Because it'll help kind of frame the when this all comes together, because those documents and all those images are all going to come out with the release, and we're not going to see them until the day it comes out publicly,
right.
And so there'll be a delay by us.
Okay, well, let's go back up to towards the top of the document. There's a section called Elements for NCA Education Deployment, and there's a series of bullets there, objectives, target audience, and so forth. Why don't we talk through this a little bit? I do want to go back before the end of our meeting today to just see if people are interested in a particular region and can sort of take on responsibility for helping flush out that regional template. But let's talk about objectives. I guess in my mind, the objective is to maximize the educational potential, the teachable moments, et cetera, inherent in the release of the National Climate Assessment, especially for education, broadly defined, you know, informal, formal, K-12, higher ed, but are there other objectives that we as a community have?
I have a thought about, this is Jane again, I have a thought about teachers of different subject areas and what their interest in different components of this might be, and I'm thinking maybe a good resource for us, think about the NGSS, and it's linked to math already, and it's linked to literacy already. And so maybe there's a way to use the language that is in the ones that are most closely associated with climate content to help engage those teachers. So there's language arts and mathematical connections that are there. I am not a literacy expert, but I know visual learning is really huge right now. It's being emphasized a lot. So my question is, first I want to reinforce what Dawn said about, I think this will be engage more people and will be used more if we make an explicit connection to teachers of different subject areas, Like if you're a science teacher, yeah, you're interested in the inquiry piece and the engineering design challenges. If you're a social science teacher, you're interested in that decision-making piece Frank was talking about. If you're in literacy, you're interested in nonfiction reading. So thank you, and I'm sorry I'm not sure who made that connection from New York State, but thank you. So I guess what I'm proposing is to use the connections that are in NGSS to help hook those teaching audiences. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And again, if any of you...
I might...
Yeah, just a second. When you make a comment like that, feel free to add it to the notes, please, because I'm doing my best to try to fill in some of the blanks of our Google Docs, but please feel free to add
your own comments. Can I just add? Okay, so teach me a little more here so I can be more effective, Mark. There was a section about audience. How about if I put in a comment there?
Sure, and I just added different teachers and subject areas will have different interests, but you may want to flesh that out.
Okay. I'll add some detail to that when I find it. Is it near the top?
Yeah, it's near the top under Elements for NCA Education Deployment.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Okay, so somebody else had a comment, I think.
Yeah, this is Kristen. I just wanted to jump on that, and maybe while you're writing that down, you can add, because I have a hard time writing from the car here. But when we're talking about the NGSS with the climate content, I would say that one of the things that that I think are most interesting and maybe brings in Texas even when you have the different ecological zones is that this brings in a lot of biology, a way of bringing climate change in through the biology. And, for example, I mean, in our state, we are one of the few states that has three biomes that meet in our center. And climate change is actually sent the nexus point where they all meet 100 miles north already. And so looking at how that impacts biological communities is actually a really interesting point. And when we're talking about science, let's not forget that we're also including the biology, not just the earth science.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about objectives and target audiences being many different teachers, not just science teachers, and target dates. So I think that, Frank, you brought up the fact that maybe the fall is a good target date for us to aim towards, and by that time we will have seen the final version of NCA and had a chance to poke around the website and see what new two-pagers they come up with and so forth. So there's some work we can do between now and then, but a lot of the work, if we're aiming for kind of fall deployment, will need to be done late spring and over the summer. Does that sound right?
Absolutely, and especially if you're going to do any preparation webinars marketing advertisement of any sort, to land it in so the teachers are coming in, you know, with their feet wet as opposed to, you know, it's starting in September.
Right.
And Mark, I don't know if you're seeing it down on the in the northeast section. There's a bunch of us underneath the states writing regional partners and putting in like the who's per region, just to see if that works for you.
Fantastic, that's much appreciated. So just going back up to the elements for deployment, NCA resources, we already know that'll include the website and the two-pagers and so forth. And then in terms of content delivery mechanisms, the webinars and classrooms and so forth, I mean, that can cost money, and as far as we know at this stage, we don't have any, but there may be opportunities, and especially if we have our ducks in a row. You know, some of you are going to be doing webinars and whatnot anyhow, so let's just be thinking about ways that we can deliver the educational content or the teaching tips and so forth to our audiences. And then connections to interactions with other activities, suggestions for evaluation and so forth. Does anybody have any comments on connections and evaluation at this stage, or should we move on to talking about partnerships in these different regions? All right. So I think let's move on to the partnership.
It's a really important question because it relates to what does success look like.
Exactly.
You know, and if we don't have any, if we don't know what success is, then we don't have any way of measuring the impact and all the outputs and outcomes that get you to that impact. So it's probably a big and beefy conversation for 12 minutes, but I think we can't leave it alone.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we've got a couple of more of these calls coming up over the next several months, so why don't we table that particular discussion of what does success look like and evaluation metrics and so forth, and why don't we, in our final 12 minutes on this call, start to talk about some of the partnerships and who can be the lead in these regions if we do have somebody on the call who's willing to take that on. So in the Northeast, obviously, quite a few of you are there, and so is there somebody on the call that's willing to kind of take the lead on the Northeast?
Well, this is Tamara. I don't know that I can take the lead, but I definitely want to participate. So
okay. If
you can see who's willing to – actually, why don't I just put my name here next to Northeast, and we'll see who else – everybody else who's interested in participating, put your name
great.
There,
Tamara,
and let's see who it is.
Why don't you put your name next to, like in parentheses, next to Turk and the regional partners, just so if it's connected,
right
down below.
Whoops, and, sorry.
So is there somebody on the call from the National Network for Ocean and Climate Change Interpretation?
No, that's me. I'm putting those in there,
okay.
And I'll commit to working with the CSEP Alliance and the CSEP partners to get this connected.
All right.
I'm on the advisory board for that group, so I can also talk to them.
Okay. All right, great. All right, so let's move on to the next region, which is, where are we here?
Southeast,
yes. So Southeast includes everything from Virginia on down to the Texas coast. And obviously some of the partners that were already identified in the Northeast are going to be relevant here in the Southeast, but is there anybody in the Southeast? Caroline, are you willing to help take the lead on this, at least for the time being?
I'm definitely willing to play, but I'm transitioning myself in the next 6 months and could not take the lead. That said, you know, once I'm in, I'm in, so I'd like to be a partner in it, but not the lead.
Okay. Mona, what about you?
The folks of it, the Pine Map Project, Martha Monroe is leading the education piece. They've just created an entire Southeastern Impacts on Climate Change curriculum down there that's gotten some fantastic reviews.
Yeah, please add that into the notes if you would, because I wasn't aware of that.
I will when I can. I can't right now, but.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Is this the person who was in the car?
Yeah, that's
good. Yeah.
Do you want me to type in Martha Monroe?
sure. I want to volunteer. I'm on the education advisory committee of that group, so I can shine Roper in. But put PineMAP, P-I-N-E-M-A-P, all capitals. It's a USDA-funded huge project that she's doing the education piece.
Okay, and
I'm sorry, I couldn't get that, Mark. I have to leave that to you.
Okay, so Kristen, when you get a chance, go ahead and fill that in when you're back to the office.
I will, for sure. I will. I'll remember.
You've also said that you're willing to take on the Midwest, and are you willing to lead it?
Is anyone else from the Midwest on the call?
Well, I mean, remember, every call we ever have is always a small subset of the larger community. So maybe the 8-minute ask here, Mark, is that each of us kind of reach out see if we can rope in and validate somebody being on here. Because I can type in anybody, but that doesn't mean they know that they're here. So if we can kind of get people to think about this and work on this document. Does everybody have the ability to write in this document if they have the link?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that going back to objectives of this that you asked before, what are the objectives, Frank? I think part of the underlying thing is we're doing a little of this mapping of finding out what's going on in region as we do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this is Caroline, and I thank Frank for that suggestion, because when the NACADAC group had a town hall last year for this Southeast region in Tampa, it was very well attended, and I could put 17 people's names down, but I'd like to speak with them first. So.
Yeah, I think that's, to my mind, that's one of the key things over the next couple of months is for us to identify those of us within the community who can help lead, and then also identify people who are outside that we want to network with. And I think we've gotten started on identifying some of those groups, at least for the Northeast, and we just need to keep honing this. But the Great Plains, obviously, would be nice to have somebody from Nebraska or University of Colorado taking that on, and then Minda, I see that you're willing to help lead the Southwest.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that because I think I have it on speakerphone. There we go. I'm happy to do the Southwest. I can lead that one, and also I spent some time in different parts of the country too. So if for example, the Northwest doesn't get picked up or the Southeast, I'm also happy to step in those areas too. But I figure I wouldn't hog it all, so
okay.
I'll just claim that one for now.
Great. And Alan,
I'll join you on that. This is Alan Gould. But
great.
Not be the lead. I'm assuming that the first person on the list is the lead.
Sure.
Yeah. So Alan, you want to add your name in? That'd be great.
Mark,
we might
want to
rethink that one.
Okay, sorry. Mona, you were trying to say something?
I said I'm happy to contribute. I think I'll definitely be helping Scott with Coast, and then I'm not sure where can I help, which of these regions can I help? I believe I identify myself most with the Gulf of Mexico region, and then Oklahoma, Arizona, you know, the Great Plains. So I don't know quite well where to fit, but, you know, please feel free to put my name anywhere. And I'm happy to loop in other Sea Grant educational professionals as well. That's all along the U.S. coast, you know, so whether it's, you know, up in Northeast or Southeast or Southwest or Northwest or Gulf of Mexico region. I'm happy to bring this up in the next phone conversation that we have with the network.
Is this Mona?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. This is Mona.
Okay. Hi, Mona. This is Jane. And just so you know, I was born in Oklahoma, and I did spend some lifetime there. So as time goes along, I'm one of those whose time is going to free up more after 6 months when some of our stuff at work is past its peak. So, and by then, some of this information will be released to us. So if that's slow in developing, I may be able to contribute to some of that Great Plains area.
Great.
Great. That's awesome. And I'm also, sorry.
I was going to say that there's definitely people around the Clean Network that are in Nebraska and Colorado that we can tap as well.
Yeah, I think we should get those guys.
Yeah. All right.
You know, Mark, one other thought here is... Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, let's just finish up with the regions here. Scott, thank you for taking on the Northwest and Alaska. Stephanie, I don't know if you're still on the call, but are you willing to help out with Alaska?
Yeah, we can help out. Hopefully we'll be able to, you know, involve some other people as well.
Excellent. Super. Pacific Islands, obviously, there's the...
Art Sussman and...
Yeah, Art Sussman with the CSEP that focuses on the Pacific Islands. And then coasts, thank you, Scott and Mona, for helping out with that one.
I'd like to be added. This is Martha Shaw. I'm sorry I missed some of the call.
Okay, so Martha, was there a particular region that you want to help out with?
I think that I'd like to work on coast.
Okay, excellent. All right, so we've got about 2 minutes before we've time to finish up here. Frank, I think you had another comment.
Well, my quick point was is that we should also be thinking about networks because, like, the Alliance for Climate Education is in multiple places. Sea Grant is in multiple places. There are other organizations that have large networks, and I think that if we, like the American President's Climate Commitment, you know, there are 677 of those, and you can look through their database by state. So, I mean, there's ways to kind of break this down a little bit more individually, but then also let's not forget about the large networks that give us some efficiencies.
Right. Absolutely. And maybe this can go in towards the bottom there under the contiguous U.S., President's Climate Commitment and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about our audience and the NGSS. What I'm seeing in the Northeast that's been fleshed out a little bit is high school connections, but I'm not seeing middle school, elementary. Do we want to stretch our audience more?
Yeah, I think the bigger the better, in my view. That, you know, certainly K through higher ed and informal science ed as well, but... The bigger the better. All right, so are there any other last words before we wrap up? We'll meet again in a month on the third Tuesday of the month. And but thank you so much, everybody, for participating in this. And I think next time around we'll have some of these ideas gelled a little bit more, and we can zero in on some more specific tasks that we have to do to move this forward.
Hey,
thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. And yes, we will have the Clean Network. We'll have our teleconference next week. We do have a speaker talking about facilitating the use of neon data in university classrooms. So that's next week.
Terrific. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
And Frank, your message did come through now. Thanks very much for sending that out.
Oh, yeah. I meant to say that, too.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Frank.
Finally. Take care, all.